All right, welcome to the Clearing the Benches podcast. I'm Tyler from at Braves Banter. I got Jake and Jamal here with me, also from the Twitter page. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Not too much. Obviously, this is a brand new podcast for us. This first run might be a little weak. I don't know. We'll see. This is all of our first time doing this, so
can't be any worse with John and Blaston.
Yeah, we've got two more guys that we're gonna add to this. It's not gonna be just about the Braves, unfortunately. Sorry for that little feedback there. Unfortunately for us three, as Braves fans, it's not gonna be all about the Braves. It's gonna be an NL East podcast. We're gonna have another guy, Matt, come in and talk about the Mets, and our buddy John come in and talk about the Phillies. But unfortunately, they couldn't make it today, so it might be a little Braves-centric today. We'll see. So I guess first on tap for us is going to be the Nationals. They're leading the division, playing great baseball right now. And Jake's going to talk a little bit about the Nationals today. They went 2-1 against the Mets and 3-0 against the Red Sox this week. And who's standing out for them this week in terms of the Nationals players?
Well, really, since we've never done a podcast before, I'm going to talk about Gio Gonzalez. He's been hot all season, probably leading the Cy Young Award right now in the National League. They're 10-2 in his starts, and he went 5-0 in May with a 2.25 ERA. So, really hard to argue against him right now. Some Braves fans might say beat you, but I think coming over to the National League, Gio's really been on fire, and I think he has a good chance to win the Cy Young. He has had a bit of a rough start here in June with a 4.09 ERA, but he's still fourth in the league in ERA with a 2.35 ERA overall. And he's third in strikeouts with 89. So he's been a big pickup for them this year, and he's the main reason the Nationals are in first place right now.
Yeah, he's I was not expecting him to do that. I mean, when they picked Gonzalez up, I assumed he'd be a good two, maybe three after Zimmerman. And he's really been – I mean, Strasburg's been elite this year too, but he's really been leading that staff.
Yeah, and as far as my cold side goes, Adam LaRoche started off the year hot, which is not typical for him. He's normally a second half kind of guy, but in his last 20 games, he's 10-73, which is 137 average with only three home runs. But crazy enough, he still leads the Nationals in average at 263. Well, that's because Bryce Harper doesn't have enough at bats yet, but he still leads the team in home runs with 10 and RBIs with 40 and on-base percentage at 352. So kind of tells you a little bit about the Nationals' offense, how it's kind of struggling, and really their pitching staff's just holding them together right now.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of the Braves back in the day with our strong pitching and the offense struggling a little bit. But speaking of Bryce Harper, this is kind of off-topic, but on at Braves Banter, this weekend, I sent out a tweet to the followers asking who would they rather have, Bryce Harper or Mike Trout, to start their team. And what about you, Jamal? Between those two guys, who would you rather have?
Between those two guys, I got to go with Bryce Harper. Kid plays solid defense. He plays multiple outfield positions, and his bat is just incredible. One of the smoothest swings I've seen in the big leagues in a long time. I mean, he's going to be here for a while. I don't see that guy going anywhere.
Yeah, it's tough to root for him considering he's in the division, but I honestly wasn't expecting this when he first got called up, and it's just amazing what he's done. It's kind of crazy. All of our followers, I had probably about 10 people respond, and they all said Mike Trout, but that might be because they don't like the Nationals.
Yeah. Oh well. Yes. Clearly, we run a Braves Twitter feed. So.
Yeah, that could be it. Well, this week, the Nationals will have the three games at the Blue Jays and three versus the Yankees. So, Jake, how do you – I guess, first off, the pitching matchups. On Monday, it will be Edwin Jackson versus Brendan Morrow. Tuesday, Chin-Ming Wong versus Henderson Alvarez. And Wednesday, Strasburg versus Drabek. How do you see the Nationals faring this week in terms of record?
Well, obviously, those first two matchups, you know, don't sound like anything you would turn on the TV for, but I definitely think the Nationals can win those types of games. Many people might not know it because the top three starters for the Nationals are so good, but Edwin Jackson has a 3.11 ERA so far this year, so he's been solid as well. And after personally watching the Blue Jays this past weekend, other than this Sunday game, I believe that, you know, I believe the national staff can hold them down a little bit. I'm just worried how they're going to score against the Blue Jays. But Blue Jays pitching staff's been a little surprising too. Ricky Romero obviously didn't have it today, which they're not going to face him anyway. But their other young pitchers have been pretty solid. And playing in Toronto could be a little tough, playing in that dome. Mm-hmm. You know, the Blue Jays hit a lot of home runs, as you might have seen today during the game. So I think it'll be a tough series. I think the Nationals could easily take 2 out of 3, especially if they win one of those first two games. I think Strasburg will shut them down in the third game.
Mm-hmm. And then as far as the Yankees, how do you see them faring against them? They're at home against the Yankees.
I actually think that might be a little bit easier series for them. I know that may sound strange, but after watching them sweep the Red Sox, I just think that pitching staff can shut down anybody, and especially at home. I think they'll have a good crowd over the weekend with the Yankees coming in. I think it'll be a big series for them, and I think they'll come out 2 out of 3 to that one as well.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue against that. They're playing some hot baseball right now. But speaking of the Blue Jays hitting home runs today, I think I could have trotted out there and hit a 3-run dinger against LeVon Hernandez, but that's neither here nor there.
Good God, don't remind me.
All right, well, we'll move on to the Braves, the beloved Braves between us three. They had a great week. They looked like they were going for a 6-0 week until Teron kind of fell apart there in the fifth inning today. But 3-0 versus the Marlins and 2-1 versus the Blue Jays. Jamal?
Braves have been strong, man, led by my top 5 MVP prediction, Michael Bourne. The guy's been hot over the past 6 games, batting 41 with 20 in 27 ABs. He's got 5 runs, 13 hits, 4 for extra bases, and a couple stolen bases. He's been caught twice, but, you know, overall, it's been a solid week for Michael Bourne, man. And as Michael Bourne goes, the Braves will go this season. So, you know, if he's getting on base, stealing bases, making things happen, distracting the pitchers, we're going to win games. And it showed this week by us going 6-1.
Absolutely. The Braves, I mean, they look strong this week, especially against the Marlins. Offense was struggling a little bit at times against the Blue Jays. But, I mean, that Marlins series was impressive.
I really like where this team is at right now. I have a really strong feeling about this team. And now that Chipper's back, gives some Prado some stability out in left field for a change. He's always switching, you know, back and forth from positions. He's one of our best hitters, and he takes a lot of pride in this game. So when he's out there trying to concentrate too much on his defense and not enough on the batting, you know, it starts to show after a while. But hopefully Chipper can stay in a lot of
– amazing this weekend, by the way.
It was great yesterday. Oh, my God. Dude, he looked like an all-world third baseman yesterday out there. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I think the Braves are set up well for the future when Chipper retires. I think that they move Prado to third and go out there and try to find them a big bat in left field.
I think that's what they should do, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to end up bringing up the kid from the minor leagues, Terzovich, and putting Prado out in left field. But we'll see. He's still got a while. I just want to get through this season first.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's been a good season so far. It hasn't been all good, though. Name your cold player of the week this week.
Cold player of the week. We probably won't see him in the lineup for a while. It's going to be Jose Constanza. Mm-hmm. Over the past 6 games prior to today, he batted 105 this week in 19 at-bats, only got 2 hits, scored 2 runs, and K'd 5 times. But now that Chipper's back, you know, if he can get that leg on track and knee and shoulder and head and ear, everything that he has hurting on his body, if he can hold that together for a week or two, we should be all right, man. We should be able to catch up to the Nationals. We're only, a half game behind them right now in the standings, I believe. Mm-hmm. So we should be pretty solid, man.
Yeah, as long as we don't have to play Juan Francisco at third base for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
What's that?
No, I was just saying Juan Francisco, a lot of pop-ups and strikeouts there.
Yeah, yeah. He's been kind of a disappointment, but he's out of options, so we can't send him down to the minors, unfortunately. all right, well then, next week we've got the I personally hate the Yankees. I'm sure a lot of us do from those 90s World Series that we always just play against them. We've got 3 versus the Yankees and 3 versus the Orioles, all at home. For the Yankees series, Monday, tomorrow, we've got Nova versus Delgado. Tuesday, we've got Sabathia versus Minor. That could be bad. And Wednesday, we've got Kuroda versus Hudson. Now, that looks like a little bit of a mismatch there in favor of the Yankees, but how do you see the Braves doing this week against the Yankees?
I see the Braves against the Yankees getting 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. I think we'll win tomorrow, and I think we'll win on Wednesday as well. Tuesday, I don't think we'll fare so hot. But the thing about this week and this team, whenever the Yankees come to town, man, they have an incredible fan base in it. Mm-hmm. You know, I've stated before, like, when going to the stadium, when the Yankees are in town, it's like being in Yankee Stadium. It's ridiculous. The whole time, it's just Yankee chants and cheers, booing Braves players. Like, it's the most ridiculous thing ever. So I think Delgado will step up. He had a strong start his last time out, so I think he'll go out there and outpitch Nova tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But 2-3.
Okay, yeah. And it was supposed to be Beachy for the record on Wednesday, but Hudson got pushed back because of that ankle having tear on pitch today. So you think...
Since Freddy Gonzalez decided to let him go out there and pitch 9 innings last time, you know, of course he gets hurt.
You think Hudson will have any lingering effects from that ankle on Wednesday?
Hudson's going to be all right, man. Hudson's a real tough guy, always has been. He's definitely our best pitcher. So I look forward to seeing him on Wednesday. I think he'll be great.
A fellow Auburn alum as well, huh?
That's right, War Eagle.
Speaking of sad that, news. Yeah, sad news today coming out of Auburn with the shootings there. Just prayers out to the families of those former Auburn players. And it's just a sad situation over there.
Definitely.
Just a side note I wanted to see, and I saw this right after the game today. Didn't know if y'all knew this. Chad Durbin has had now 14 straight scoreless appearances for the Braves. Who would have thought that after his start with the club?
Oh, you didn't see that coming?
No, I didn't see that coming.
At the game the other night, it was a close game, and Beachy came out, and they brought Durbin in. I looked at my dad, and I said, why are we throwing in the towel? That's automatically what I think when Durbin comes in. But he's been surprisingly good lately.
Yeah, he has.
He's working for that setup role now that Venters is struggling this year. But
yeah, I'd like to see Venters. You know, Venters needs to get it together because obviously you got Kimbrel just shutting things down this year. Unbelievable.
Dude is nasty.
All right, and then we got three against the Orioles on the weekend. How do you see us doing against that team, Jamal?
I got us going 2-3 against the O's too, man. I don't believe in this Orioles team. I don't think they're as good as they look on paper. You know, they've been playing great baseball this season, but I think they're overrated, honestly. And I think coming to the National League Park this week, it changes the type of game that they play. They're not a National League team, and they can't go out there and slug it out with you like the Yankees can. So I think, you know, 2-3 for that one as well. So I see the Braves going 4-2 this week.
Okay, and speaking of overachieving teams and teams that shouldn't really be where they're at, we've got the Mets in third place. I could take a shot like that because our Mets expert, Matt Blask, is not here this week. So I guess we'll go ahead and take this this segment. All of us can talk about the Mets. They went 1-6 this week, unfortunately for them. After having a great series against the Cardinals over the weekend with Santana throwing that no-hitter and Dickey shutting them down as well. They lost on Monday to the Cardinals and then took one from the Nationals, but then were swept in the Subway Series this weekend. So they're kind of stumbling, and I know the three of us have talked that none of us believe that the Mets will be there in the end, but has your mind changed at all in the past few weeks, or do you still think the Mets will crumble?
They will crumble. Consensus opinion, the Mets are overrated by far.
Yeah, I think we can agree on that, but there are a few good things about the Mets, and one of their hottest players is R.A. Dickey. Guy's actually been incredible this year. Looked up some stats. In his last six starts, he's 5-0 with a 1.27 ERA, 46 strikeouts compared to only 5 walks, and a .89 whip. I mean, the guy's been good. I know that his one loss came to the Braves in a shortened rain game. I don't know. He just didn't have his best stuff that day. But otherwise, guys, talk about R.A. Dickey this year.
As Blask would say, he's undefeated when it doesn't rain. I drafted Dickey in our baseball baseball league because he's a quality start machine. I think he had a streak of like 17 or 20 in a row. That got ended at the beginning of this season, but the guy's just solid. He gives you 6 or 7 strong innings, but what he's been doing this year is just incredible. I don't know what it is the batters aren't seeing this year, but knuckleball pitchers can come and go, and I think it's obviously not going to last. I don't think any of us think it'll last, but he's been incredible so far this year. His strikeouts numbers are ridiculous.
Agreed.
Yeah, that knuckleball's been dancing something nasty this season so far, but I don't know, man. All right, Dickie, if you just sit there and you're patient with him and make him throw you fastballs, you can light him up. So I don't see R.A. Dickey maintaining this level of success all season. I think our Mets expert might predict him to be in the Cy Young race, but mm-hmm. I don't see it coming towards the end of the season.
Agreed. And I don't know about you guys, but I had no clue that the guy was 37 years old. He's older than Tim Hudson. That shocked me when I saw
that's
that.
Crazy.
He's been a good story. And you know what? Although I don't like the Mets, good for him after the whole story that came out about him prior to this season. You know, nothing but to the best for that guy. Another hot guy for the Mets recently has been Lucas Duda. The guy's hit .292 over his last seven, two bombs, six RBIs, four walks. The Mets have been struggling in the last seven games, but Duda's actually done pretty well for them. He actually had a double in the late innings today. Unfortunately, they couldn't pull it out. But talk about Lucas Duda this year. Either one of y'all.
The guy's good. I watched him a lot last year. He's obviously got a lot of power. I was watching that Mets Champions game today, and he drilled one and burned Grandy in center field. So the guy's got some pop in his bat. You know, obviously with guys like that, though, he's going to have his slumps where he strikes out. So I think he's going to be a prototypical 20-25 home run hitter guy, maybe 70-80 RBIs. But, you know, when he gets hot, you know, he's gonna hit some balls hard, but he's also going to have a lot of times where he's not even touching the ball.
Yeah, there are going to be a lot of highs and lows. As Jake stated, he has great power. He's slugging .450 on the season so far. 36 RBIs, 10 home runs. As long as he's patient at the plate and takes his walks, he'll be a good player, man. He'll be a solid guy for Lucas. I think Lucas Duda will be a solid guy for the Mets for years to come as well.
Yeah, I can agree with that. We can't end the hot segment without talking about David Wright. Not necessarily the last few games, but just over the season, I mean, the guy's been on fire. And I don't think many were expecting him to be this good this year. Jamal, talk about a little bit about David Wright this year and what he's done for the Mets.
I was hoping I could make it through a day without hearing the name David Wright, because I'm pretty sure I've seen it in text every day since April. Yeah. But David Wright is playing out of his mind right now. He's playing incredible baseball. He's always been a great player. You know, the concussion issue he had last season kind of messed him up a little bit, but he's slugging .583 right now, and that's ridiculous in Citi Field, even though they moved in the fences because he couldn't hit hard enough. But David Wright, he's in the MVP conversation right now, and I don't see that fading at all. If he stays healthy, man, he's going to be right there, and he may win it.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that. Jake, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, there was that one point where me and Blast were going back and forth on text, and I said that David Wright was hot for a 22-game streak or something. Mm-hmm. And I think his average was well over 400, and it's when he thought he had a chance to hit 400. And after that, I think he went in like a big slump, and his average dropped with like 40 points, and I haven't heard much from Blask on that since. But David Wright's obviously a great player. He's not a 400 hitter. He's the best player the Mets have. The decision they got to make is obviously whether to keep or sign him. You know, he's obviously playing for his future, either in New York with a big contract or with his next team. So he's going to put up some numbers. You know, it's all just about staying healthy with him.
Wouldn't that be funny if he went to the other New York team and replaced A-Rod at third?
That would be hilarious.
some cold players, and this gives me some great joy to talk about these two being cold, because in talking to Blaska at the beginning of the year, he pumped these guys up so much, and these guys are having just horrific last weeks, and that's Daniel Murphy and Ike Davis. Aside from today, Ike Davis did have an RBI, his first in the last seven games. But
his first hit in the ninth inning all year, 1-9.
Just a couple stats on these guys. Daniel Murphy, who Blaska said he would rather have than Dan Uggla, which is a story we can talk about later when Blaska can actually defend himself. Daniel Murphy, over the last seven games, is hitting 100, no extra base hits, and zero runs. You know, the guy, he's a singles hitter, and what more can you say about him? I mean, he's hitting, I think, in the 280s now. I think Blaska said that he had a chance to be a 400 hitter as well. Talk about Daniel Murphy and your thoughts on him, Jamal.
Daniel Murphy, man, he's a good hitter. Solid plate approach. You know, he's always going to be right around 300 to finish most seasons. as you said, he's in a little bit of a rut right now. His average dropped down to 284. But I expect him to pick it back up. I don't think he'll stay down in the 280s. He's going to be close to 300. Mm-hmm. He great patience at the plate all the time. Hard, he plays hard, but it's hard to cheer for that anybody on the Mets personally for me. So I think Murphy will turn it around shortly though.
Yeah, I think we can agree on that. Jake, do you have anything to add about Daniel Murphy?
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked Daniel Murphy. Like both you guys said, he's a great hitter, and I think we all have seen him play against the Braves and just be annoying with his little flares in the, you know, left and right field gaps. He'll hit it anywhere. And he also has 9 hits in his 6 games against the Braves this year. So I know we don't really want to see him at the plate anymore, but he's obviously not a 400 hitter. He's a 320 hitter though. He's a really good hitter, really good bat in that lineup. I don't think they know what to do with him in that lineup. I know he was at batting second to start the year, and I've seen him down as much as fifth recently. So I think really Terry Collins is just trying to figure out where to put him in that lineup right now.
Yeah, I agree. And the other guy, Ike Davis, we won't mention who said that he was the best first baseman in the National League East, but I'm sure you can all guess who it was. This week, in his last 7 games before today, he was hitting 100 with 8 Ks and 0 RBIs for the Mets. Jake, I know you've looked into Ike Davis a lot lately just because of the statements that were made about him being better than the other first baseman in the National League East. What do you have to say about Ike Davis in the last 7 games and this year?
Ike Davis is somebody, he came on the scene, you know, the same time Jason Hayward did. He had that same kind of hype. He's a great hitter in college. I actually watched him play in college a couple games when Arizona State came to Auburn. But, you know, he's obviously not the best first baseman in the National League East. He needs to be sent down, but I don't think the Mets have anybody to replace him. You know, it'd be nice for him to get back to that home run form, you know, if I were a Mets fan, but I just don't see it happening. He looks foolish at the plate. If you watch him, it's frustrating to watch, even as somebody that hates the Mets. It's ugly. And I think if they had something else they could do with him, you know, they would. He needs to go down and figure it out, but right now the Mets are just stuck with him.
And to their credit, they have had a lot of injuries this year. So that kind of goes into the fact that they don't really have much room to work with sending players down and things like that right now. You know, as much crap as we're talking about the Mets right now, we've got to mention Terry Collins and the job he's done with the Mets this year. You know, with the decisions to leave Santana in the other week, to just the way he's managed that depleted lineup. If you guys could just touch on Terry Collins, the job that he's done this year with the Mets.
I think Terry Collins has done a terrific job so far. I mean, you can't knock anything. He's got the Mets at 32-29, and I don't think any of us would have seen that coming at the beginning of the season. Mets ownership is a mess, and, you know, the team is very young. Still, I think they're overachieving right now, but that could be just a sign that the manager's doing a great job. So kudos to Terry Collins for the job he's done thus far.
Absolutely. All right, well, the upcoming games this week, they've got 3 at the Rays and 3 versus the Reds. The lineup the pitching probables for the first series, we got Chris Young coming back from the DL versus the rookie Alex Cobb. Wednesday, we've got Dickey versus Price. Could be a great one there. And Thursday, we've got Santana versus Hellickson. Jamal, for that first series, how do you see the Mets shaping up with the Rays?
The Mets are in a world of trouble, man. I honestly see the Mets after this week finding themselves back in the bottom of the division. It's going to be a tough week, and I think they're going to get swept by Tampa.
Okay. And, Jake, 3 versus the Reds at home at Citi Field, how do you see them doing against them?
The Reds have been good lately. I know after the Braves played them, they really got hot, and they've taken a hold of that Central Division. You know, after Jamal saying they're going to get swept by Tampa, I don't think they'll get swept by Cincinnati, but it's going to be a tough week. You know, I think they'll definitely pull one out against Cincinnati, but it's going to be a difficult week for the Mets.
Yeah, the problem with them facing Cincinnati is they're not going to have the Dickey and Santana combo, either one of them, against the Reds, so it could be tough pickings against the Reds as well. All right, well, we will move on to the fourth place team in the NL East, the now Miami Marlins. horrible week for them this week. They ran into two hot teams. They were 0-3 versus the Braves and 0-3 versus the Rays this week. That would be Braves and Rays. I know they sound similar. But, you know, they were hot before those teams, and no one has been hotter than Logan Morrison. I'm sorry, not Logan Morrison, Mike Stanton. Talk about Mike Stanton, Jake.
Nobody's been colder than Logan Morrison.
I was like, Logan Morrison, what?
Yeah, that's my fault. Nah,
Stanton's been unbelievable here lately. He's one of the prospects that's coming up that's actually living up to his billing right now. He hit .247 in April, which wasn't great, but he had one of the best Mays in baseball, where he went he hit .343 with 12 home runs and 30 RBIs, and I watched some of those home runs, and they're beautiful to watch. It's I hate that we're gonna have to play him for years to come, because he crushes baseballs, and he's probably gonna hurt a couple players with some line drives, but he almost single-handedly brought the Marlins back into the NL East race. They seem to be fading after April, and I know me and Jamal thought this team wasn't going to live up to its hype, but Stanton keeps hitting like that and keeps knocking out that ugly-looking sculpture or whatever out in left center field like Dan Ugla did. They're going to stay in this race a little bit longer than we think.
I'm really hoping Stanton breaks that thing. It's the most obnoxious thing I've ever seen in any ballpark, but that's just my opinion. It's crazy to think, too, that Stanton was in the same draft as the Braves got Hayward and Freeman, and they actually had a chance to draft Stanton in between those two players, which would have just been an incredible coup for them. But wouldn't have made too much sense to draft Hayward and Stanton. But what a great young player that guy seems to be. On the flip side, I've already mentioned his name on accident. Logan Morrison has been pretty horrific for the Marlins this year.
Yeah, this has just been brutal. I don't know why. It's the same thing with Ike Davis. I don't know why they keep throwing this guy out in the lineup. He had his problems last year with the team where he got sent down, and apparently he's on Twitter a little too much. But he started out the year okay. He hit .310 in April, but he hit .176 in May. And in June, he's only hitting .120, and his average is all the way down to .214. And I think today he was batting fifth in that lineup, and I just don't know how the Marlins can have a guy batting .214 in the five hole.
So, fifth might be his lucky number, though. He came out and got three hits today. Three hits, two doubles today. So, I mean, that's a strong day in the five hole for Logan Morrison.
And he was benched Saturday, so maybe he just needed some time to think. But this guy has been – he's been pretty horrible.
Yeah.
You know, and as you stated, maybe the Twitter thing, but Logan Morrison's got a lot of issues with immaturity, And he may be hurt. He started the season with a bum knee, so maybe it's lingering effects of that. Maybe he just needs time to just sit out, and just get healthy. But he's shown a lot of potential in the past, and, I don't think this is going to be the trend we see with him. And in comparison to Ike Davis, to me, Ike Davis really hasn't shown much. He's had decent stretches of hot streaks, but Logan Morrison has been a pretty consistent player when healthy.
Yeah, it's not going to get any easier for the Marlins as well. Next week they've got three versus Boston at home and three, again, at the Rays. How do you guys see them? I guess against Boston, it's going to be Beckett versus Johnson on Monday, Buchholz versus Burley on Tuesday, and Felix DuBront versus Nolasco on Wednesday. I guess, Jake, for that first series, how do you see the Marlins facing the Boston Red Sox?
First off, what has happened to Josh Johnson? This guy was throwing no hitters almost every game last year, and he has not had a great start to this year coming back from injury. But I think that's going to be an interesting game on between Beckett and Johnson. But I think they'll probably lose two of those games. They'll obviously lose the third one, the last go on the mound. Probably he's been pretty horrible, but. Yeah, I think the Red Sox getting swept by the Nats, they're gonna come playing the Marlins ready, and I think they'll take two out of three from them.
Okay, I can see that. And then we've got three at the Rays. Jamal, how do you see them faring against the Rays this week?
I think it's going to be a good week for the Rays. With them facing the Mets and Marlins this week, two teams that are pretty cold right now. The Rays just took three from them. On the road, or at home, I guess. So now they're going to be on the road for these next three in Tampa. I don't see it getting any better. I think that, you know, Zambrano will probably outpitch Matt Moore on Friday, but I see them losing Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, yeah, Zambrano got shelled this week, but we'll see. We'll see how they do, and we'll wrap it up. Not very common you see this, but the Phillies are trailing the division by, I believe it's 8 games now, and they're really scuffling. Normally we would have our resident Phillies expert and homer, John McDevitt, talk about the Phillies, but he is out this week, so we will talk about the Phillies for him. Another bad week for the Phillies. Swept at home by the Dodgers, and they did take one from the Orioles, but a 1-5 week. And guys, what's going on with the Phillies this year?
Bullpen.
Yeah, bullpen. The bullpen has been, outside of Papelbon, who has had some struggles as well. The bullpen, and Bastardo's had a decent year as well. The bullpen's been pretty horrific, and it doesn't help that their two boppers are out of the lineup.
And Cliff Lee went again today. He hasn't won a game yet this year, despite having an ERA. I don't know what it was after today's game, but it's either 3 or below. So they're just not – the offense isn't getting it done when he's on the mound. I know we saw that with the Braves offense for a while. They just got relaxed when pitchers like Lee and or Smoltz or Maddox were on the mound, and they figured they didn't have to score a lot of runs. And it just seems that way with this, especially with this Phillies offense, the way it's set up today, where, you know, they think one or two runs is going to get it done. But, you know, they just need to get it going, especially when you have Lee going up there throwing, you know, one-hit shutouts and losing an extra innings to the Giants like they did not long ago.
It's really incredible. He's had bad luck. Still a great pitcher. You know, despite the struggles for the offense for the Phillies, Hunter Pence has been a bright spot for them this year. He's a guy, when you look at him play, he looks like the most unathletic guy I've ever seen. He throws weird, he runs weird, he bats weird, but the guy's got 13 bombs and 36 RBIs this year. And I really think he's been the main guy to carry the Phillies this far offensively. What do you guys think about Hunter Pence, Jamal?
Hunter Pence is a solid player, man. He always plays hard. He's got a, you know, pretty decent glove out there. The weirdest swing you'll probably ever see a major league hitter have. He chokes up on the bat like he's in little leagues. But, I mean, like you said, the kid's got 13 bombs, 38 RBIs right now. He's really carrying that team. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm still afraid of the Phillies, man. When they get back Chase Utley and Ryan Howard, man, it's still going to be on. Because yeah. Chase Utley is, I guess the only equivalent would be like he's the Chipper Jones for them. He's their leader. Mm-hmm. When he's in the lineup, you just see that team plays differently. You know, they play as hard as he plays. And he plays the game harder than probably anybody else in the league right now. And, you know, maybe that's led to a lot of the nagging injuries he's developed throughout his career. But solid guy, man. Solid team. I still feel the Phillies.
That's a good point. Yeah. And I guess you could compare Ryan Howard to Andrew Jones in that situation, where not the greatest average, but he will hit bombs for you and he'll drive in runs. And he's a big part of that lineup as well. It's going to be tough to come back from that injury that he has. But we'll talk more about that in a minute. Another guy that's struggling is Utley's replacement, Freddie Galvis. In his last 7 games, he's hitting 154, no extra base hits, only 1 RBI. You can see where the Phillies are struggling, not to mention that Halliday's been out, and he will be out for a couple more weeks. And he wasn't having a strong year before that injury either. It's going to be tough for the Phillies to make it back, but you just don't want to count them out. Me and Jake were talking before the podcast started. We're not going to be satisfied with the Phillies being back until they're down 40 games with 39 left to play, because they've dominated this division for the past few years, and you just don't want to count them out. All right, well, this upcoming week, they've got a slightly easier week than the rest of the teams. They've got 3 at the Twins and 3 at the Blue Jays. Monday is Kendrick versus Blackburn. Tuesday is Hamels, who's had a great year, versus P.J. Walters, who, pardon me, I've never even heard of P.J. Walters. And Wednesday, Blanton versus Scott Diamond. Jake, how do you see the Phillies faring against the Twins?
And that's why series? Do they get to play the Twins is what I want to say, first of all. This is absolutely ridiculous and absurd how this schedule is, but the Phillies don't sweep that series or at least take 2 out of 3. It's going to be sad, sad times. I know they just lost back-to-back games and extra innings, so I don't see them not winning at least two of these games. You know, like I said, I've heard of one or two of those pitchers for the Twins teams. So I think the Phillies will at least take two or three of those, if not sweep the Twins.
Okay, and Jamal, three at the Blue Jays. How do you see the Phillies faring against the Blue Jays in Toronto?
Blue Jays are a tough team, and they play pretty well at home. But I can't see them not getting a win in that series. Cliff Lee's got to win at some point, and he pitches for them on Saturday against Ricky Romero. So I think they'll at least win that game. And got Worley going on Friday. So I think the Phillies can pull two out of three in Toronto.
Okay. Well, that'll wrap up the reviews of the teams. Now we'll get into a segment, what we like to call Touch 'Em All, where we've got different statements. Some range from being very ridiculous, some not so ridiculous, and we'll debate these statements. First of all, Jake brought up a good comment that was made by Casey Stern, who said that the NL East is full of mediocre teams. What do you guys think about that, saying the NL East is a mediocre division, basically?
It's not.
Well, go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I was just saying, it's really not that far of an off topic. You know, I mean, I think that's a pretty fair statement at this point in time. Nobody's really stepping out and playing like an elite team in the division right now. You know, I've been looking at this team, looking at the lineups. I think the Braves are probably in the best situation to break out right now. We're in a good spot. However, the Mets, the Marlins, the Phillies, they're all pretty much underachieving. I think they're not playing up to where they could be playing. The Mets are playing a little bit above their heads, but the Nationals are going to be solid all year. They're going to be a problem. But, you know, saying we're a bunch of mediocre teams is fair. It's a fair statement at this point in time.
Jake, do you agree?
Not necessarily. Obviously, I think at this point, you know, after watching the NL East play the AL East this weekend, it's clear that the AL East is better. But to say that the NL East is a bunch of mediocre teams when, you know, they've all been basically 500 or better all season, I don't think that's a fair statement. The Braves and Nats are obviously pulling away right now. You know, that's indicative of this weekend series where they combined to go 5-1 against the AL East. So, you know, those are the two best teams in the NL East, and to be able to take out two AL East teams like that shows you that we do have some good teams at the top of the division. It's really hard to judge the Phillies right now without Utley and Howard. But, you know, I think the Red Sox are overrated. People keep thinking that they're going to be this team, but they're not. Their pitching is just, you know, horrible. The Yankees win because they're the Yankees, but I look at that team and I don't like that pitching staff. CeCe's been the number two starter when he needs to be an ace. You know, he goes out there and gives up three or four runs, it seems like, every start, but the Yankees score seven or six. So, I don't know. I think the Rays are the best team in baseball. I've thought that for a while. I think I mentioned not long ago that I thought that them and the Braves could easily meet up in the World Series. But I think they're pretty comparable divisions. I definitely think the AL East is better, but I don't think they're that much ahead of the NL East. And I think the NL East still has a lot of good teams that are going to win a lot of ball games. And you can tell that, too, by their records outside the division as well. I know they've been beating up on everybody outside of the East. So.
It's going to – I mean, that top three of the Nationals and really the top three of the Braves would be tough to beat in a series. But we will see as the season progresses. Okay, well, here's a statement for the Nationals. The Nationals have the best pitching staff in baseball. Agree or disagree, Jamal?
Best pitching staff in baseball? No, I wouldn't quite go that far. I think the Nationals pitching staff has been very solid, but I think that they're a fragile bunch. You know, each of them have a lot of injury history. Well, I guess mainly looking at Strasburg and Gio Gonzalez, Edwin Jackson, all of them, you know, have history of getting hurt at least a couple times during the season. They'll be on the DL sooner or later, and they're going to fade. But it's a young team, man. And, you know, if you look at this and say the best staff possibly over the next two or three years, then, yeah, I would look long-term and say that. But, you know, right now I don't think they have the best staff in the league.
Who would you say does have the best staff if you had to put someone over the Nationals right now?
I still like the Giants pitchers, man, and the Phillies. You know, they got the top four with Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, Vance Worley, and, they're solid, man.
Yeah, don't forget Cole Hamels.
Yep, that guy.
Yeah, that guy, Cole. Jake, what about you? Best pitching staff in baseball, the Nationals.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm the one that brought the topic up, so I kind of believe they are, just based on pure numbers up to this point. They've been the best pitching staff in baseball with a 2.97 ERA, which is first in the league and a third in the league in strikeouts with 489. As I mentioned earlier, their fourth starter had 3.11 ERA, so that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Jordan Zimmerman has a 2.82 ERA. Gio is at 2.35, and Strasburg is at 2.41. So I think it's pretty obvious they have the best pitching staff right now. As Jamal was saying, you know, as the season goes on, you know, if I had to pick one pitching staff to go into the playoffs with right now, I'd probably pick the Giants pitching staff. But up to this point, they've no doubt been the best pitching staff in baseball, in my opinion.
Yeah, the Nationals have a good young staff, and the Giants are young as well. The Phillies are kind of creeping up there in age, but they're still going to be good for the next few years, so I wouldn't be too worried about that for them. All right, moving on to the Braves. Jamal, Michael Bourne, top five MVP. You mentioned that earlier. Please divulge why you think Michael Bourne will be in the top five of the MVP race this year.
Michael Bourne is the most valuable player on the Atlanta Braves right now. His defense saves us, you know, multiple runs, it seems like, every night. I can't believe some of the balls he gets to. It's incredible how fast he is. He's currently batting .317 on the season, 6 home runs, 20 RBIs with a .368 on base percentage. And, I mean, if he's getting on base at the rate he is now, the Braves are one of the best teams in the game. I mean, hands down.
I can definitely see your point there. Jake, do you agree or disagree with Jamal?
Well, just to disagree, he's not going to be in the top five just because he's not a pretty guy. He's not going to hit the 500-foot home runs like a Stanton would or Josh Hamilton. His home run numbers have been, they've been there. He's actually had a number in that category this year, which is kind of crazy.
He's got six.
But that's kind of been a... If you watched him in spring training, I think he hit two or three home runs in spring training, and you all just kind of thought, you know, wow, where is this coming from? But
right.
If that guy can hit 10, 15 home runs and get on base, he's obviously the Braves' most valuable player. You know, there's no debating that. But, no, he's not going to be in top five MVP. There's too many other voters out there that are just going to look at the home run and RBI numbers and vote them up there. If you're asking my opinion, do I think he's one of the most valuable players in the National League, then yes. But as far as riders out there, they're gonna pick the guy that hits 40 home runs and drives at 130 RBI.
That does seem to be the trend. Quick side note: Do you guys think the Braves will be able to sign Michael Bourne after this year?
No chance.
No.
I think that's a pretty easy answer there. Hopefully, the Braves can find a semi-decent replacement for him in center field. Moving on to the Marlins. Anibal Sanchez will receive Cy Young consideration, possibly top five. Jake, explain that. That was your statement.
Yeah, I was just kind of throwing that out there. I've watched him a couple times this year, and the guy's been great. He's struggled a little bit as of late, but moving into that ballpark, many of you have seen it. Even though Mike Stanton makes it look small at times, that's a big ballpark. He gave up 20 home runs last year. That number is obviously going to go down at that new field. He hasn't been getting the wins that he needs, but his ERA has been sticking around 3, even though he's given up. He's given up 12 runs in his past 3 starts, but his ERA is still sitting around 3. He struck out 200 batters last year. I think if he can do that again and keep his ERA around 3 and win 16 games, you know, I think he's going to be the ace of that staff with Josh Johnson. You know, not figuring it out. Zambrano's going to fall back a little bit, and Burley is going to be what Burley is. So I think he's going to become the ace of the staff, and I think he'll definitely get some, especially if the Marlins are winning, he's going to get some Cy Young consideration at the end of the year.
Okay, Jamal, do you agree or disagree with Jake?
You know, I disagree. I mean, Anibal Sanchez has always been a pretty solid pitcher, but, I mean, he's not doing anything spectacular this year. He's right on par with his career averages. I mean, he's got a .319 ERA right now and a 3-4 record. Those numbers just don't really scream Cy Young to me.
Okay, speaking of numbers. Heath Bell, what's going on with him in Florida? I haven't really been able to check his stats as of late, but he was horrible to start the year. Heath Bell, what's going on with him? He's supposed to be a big signing for the Marlins.
Yeah, I know he was horrible early on. I think they swept the Nats recently, and he closed all three games. So I think he's starting to get it a little bit back on track. I think he was a little overrated in San Diego, and I thought that pickup this offseason was played up a little too much. I'm not a big closer guy. Obviously, the Braves have Kimbrel, and he's probably the best in the league right now, but I think that was an overrated pickup in the offseason.
You got to love his entrance into the All-Star game last year, though. The dead sprint from the bullpen and sliding into the mound. I mean,
that was awesome.
You gotta love his sense of humor, at least.
His character on the field is what got him that contract. I don't think it was so much his play on the field, but he's just a fun guy, and it seemed like the Marlins were trying to bring in guys like that to boost attendance, which I think is only like 15th in the league at this point.
Yeah, I'm sure Ozzie Guillen's comments about Casho didn't really help that at all, but that's neither here nor there. Moving on to the Phillies, this was my statement because I think it's all in our minds. When Ryan Howard and Chase Utley come back to the Phillies lineup, they will begin to start to dominate the league again. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's going to take them a good month to warm up and just get back used to playing the game every day. But, you know, they can keep it tight, man. I know they're fading a bit right now. They're 8 games back. If they can keep it within 5 games when those guys get back, the Phillies will probably still win the division. And that's a terrible thing, and I hate even having to think about that or even say those words. But man, those guys mean so much to that team and that lineup. You know, you can't really replace those two on that team. When they get back and they're healthy, if they are fully healthy when they get back, you know, hopefully they're not rushed back. They're veteran guys, so they know their bodies pretty well. I still fear the Phillies a lot.
Okay, Jake, what about you?
Yeah, as you guys know, I'm scared of the Phillies, and I think the Braves are too. You can tell when we play the Phillies that it's intimidating. It's like they're, you know, your big brother or something, and you know that they're going to come out and give you a tough game, and somebody's going to come through with that big hit. But I don't think they'll immediately bounce back. I think if Ryan Howard keeps getting pushed back, he's kind of a slow starter anyway. And like Jamal said, it's going to take him at least a month to get going. They need him back soon, but it also, as Jamal said, you don't want to rush him back. I heard talks of this week of them trying to move Utley. I don't know. I just saw it in a glance by. I didn't read the article to see if they meant move positions. I don't know where else he would play or if they meant move him as in trade him, but with Galvis going down, I think he's that was kind of a bad move at this point. They need Utley. He's a pure hitter. It's always just been help with him.
Yeah, I think I did see something that they were possibly thinking about playing him at first base, so he wouldn't have to move around as much. Obviously, it would be before Howard comes back.
I was about to say, where would Ryan Howard go at that point?
Yeah.
But, you know, with Howard, with that Achilles, that's no joke of an injury. And like you guys said, if they rush him back, you're risking possibly putting him out for maybe his career. He's getting on the older side. And you don't want to mess with that Achilles injury.
Well, Ryan Howard is definitely on pace to be a career DH pretty soon. I don't think he has many more years of National League ball. Probably, I mean, he's got this big contract. I know he's under. I think he's got like what 4 or 5 more years left on that contract. But I don't think he'll play that out with the Phillies.
Yeah, Yankees will buy that out soon,
just like they do with everyone. Yeah. Well, that'll end the Touch 'Em All segment, and that'll wrap up the podcast. Couple things here. If you've got any good ideas, any crazy statements you want to throw out there for the Touch 'Em All segment, feel free to tweet us. We've got a Twitter for the podcast. It's @benchescleared. And if you have any suggestions for the podcast outside of that, feel free to tweet us or mention us and put in the hashtag #clearingthebenches, which is our blog. We've got the blog at clearingthebenches.wordpress.com. You can come check us out there. We're going to be posting stories. All 4 of us will be on there. Follow us at Benches Cleared. And me, Jamal, and Jake have our own Twitter for Braves fans. And we've actually got close to 300 followers just in this first week. It's been great. We've had a lot of interaction. We're @BravesBanter. Feel free to tell other people about us. Do you guys have anything to say before we sign off?
Yeah, what about Jamal selling out this weekend, going down to the good seats behind third base, leaving me up in the cheap seats by myself? What kind of garbage is that?
It was awesome. Let me tell you, man. Those seats were amazing. We were on the sixth row back from third base. It was great. Right there next to my favorite player, Martin Prado, turning web gems out. Great game.
Down there with all the fake fans while we're up there at Gas South getting the party going.
You're in a good seats when the waiter comes down to you and takes your food order and then he comes back out in 5 minutes. Like, what?
They do that at Turner Field?
Yeah, exactly. Like, who knew?
Yeah, we buy the $5 seats and sit up at the top of the chop.
$5, $1 seats.
Well, I'm glad you guys could make it out to the Turner Field this week. I watched the games from home. It was funny. I've got two TVs in my living room, and I had the College World Series on one and the Braves on another. I took a picture, and a guy responded, and he goes, "You're clearly single. You've got nothing on your shelves, and you're sitting at home watching baseball by yourself." And I was just like, "Yeah, that's pretty much wraps up my life story right there." But
wrong with that.
Yep.
But anyways, for Jake and Jamal, I'm Tyler. Thanks for listening.